Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Terms and conditions apply.
We want to holler, go away. I need more peace and hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for the radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for the radio. Every time I listen, Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware. I got strategies for living radio.
Oh, you know we need them. Yeah, we need those strategies. Those strategies for living.
I think we could use them.
Yeah, I know we could use them. You ready? You ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
I think I'm ready.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a deal then. Here we go. Welcome, folks. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan. She is psychotherapist, PLPC, Lauren Leon McMillan. And you ready to be driven to true confessions today?
Okay.
Yeah. You ready?
Sure.
Yeah.
What do we do?
What do clients say that can just drive you up the wall?
Okay.
True confessions today.
Yeah.
There was a recent article in Time Magazine that was written by Angela Haupt, who is a health and wellness editor at Time. Mm-hmm. And she wrote about phrases that drive your therapist up the wall. You know, because, I mean, here's the deal. You know, therapists are... They're listeners. They're paid to listen. Their job is listening, right?
Absolutely.
But Ms. Haupt points out that not all words are music to their ears, because some indicate that maybe the clients aren't taking the process seriously. Maybe others reveal misunderstandings that need to be clarified.
Yeah.
Some of them may be deep-rooted beliefs that need to be corrected. And in writing the article, Angela Haupt asked a handful of therapists, you know, to... It was kind of an informal survey, if you would. What drives you up the wall? So I thought we would see if we could drive you up the wall.
Okay,
today.
Well, we'll see. But that the belief thing is more of what I'm thinking as I'm kind of scrolling through this list, right?
Yeah.
It's more like words are powerful. Right.
And we program.
And I think we also have some misunderstandings maybe about what therapy is.
Yep.
We don't have enough of that space.
We're going to talk about that and more today. Folks, thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you being with us, and we appreciate our sponsors making it possible. The Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing and Learning RX. We trained your brain. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and SRT Sales Training. Back in a moment. We're going to see if we can drive Lauren straight up the wall here on Strategies Today. Be right back.
Oh, boy.
Dealing with stress, pain, feel like you're running out of options? When your life is balanced, wellness is a given. True wellness is holistic. It's about the mind, the body, and the spirit, all in balance. Now, there's a place right here in Shreveport that's all about helping us achieve peak mental, emotional, and physical health. The Balanced Life, 117 Kings Highway, right next door to Strawn's. Come see and feel the difference getting your life in balance can be. Many of your friends and neighbors have already learned the difference less stress and pain mean in their lives. You can book a discovery session right now online, thebalancedlife.us. All you've got to lose is stress, pain, or maybe both. Come see and feel for yourself the real difference balanced wellness makes. The Balanced Life Wellness Center, 117 Kings Highway in Shreveport, next door to Strawn's, thebalancedlife.us.
You're going to see the difference when you go to Azalea Cleaners. You'll hear about it, too. Azalea Cleaners has been fine dry cleaning since 1958, plus laundry, alterations and repairs, comforters, wedding gown cleaning and restoration. You'll hear about it from your friends because they'll see it, too. They'll notice the Azalea difference. Azalea is convenient. 732 Azalea Drive, 9220 Ellerby Road, and 9227 Mansfield Road. Plus, the front door of your home or business with Azalea's delivery on demand. Just text SETUP to 249-8283 and Azalea will pick up your clothes and deliver them back clean and fresh to you. You can't get closer than that. That's the Azalea difference. You'll notice it right away. Others will too. The Azalea difference. Fine dry cleaning since 1958. Text SETUP to 249-8283 and get the Azalea difference. AzaleaCleaners.com.
Hi, this is Jay Merle for Pintail Roofing. Let's talk about quality. When you hire Pintail to build your roof, here's what you can expect. Quality and quality control are the most important concerns for us at Pintail, and you need to know that Pintail stands tall with swift and professional performance on any warranty call. This is our most important policy. And remember, we're your neighbors. We'll be here for you for the long haul. Our family's lived here for over 100 years, and we aren't going anywhere. On the commercial side of Pintail's business, our fluid applied roofing solutions can save thousands of dollars over conventional commercial roofing options. Call Pintail at 226-ROOF for a free inspection of your home or commercial building. That's 226-7663. Pintail Roofing. What's the condition of your roof?
Tune in daily, find the light. Healthy mind and spirits bright. Strategies for living strong. Feel the vibe, it won't go wrong. Living life.
And welcome in. Welcome into another edition of Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. And thank you for joining us here on Strategies for Living as we look at whether we can drive Lauren straight up the wall today, because we're looking at a Time Magazine article just from the 1st of October, actually, that is titled "Your Therapist Driving Your Therapist: Phrases That Drive Your Therapist Up the Wall." And you know, I'm going to jump right into the first one, and we'll talk about some of these phrases and what they could indicate and how we might want to think a little differently. One of the first ones that's been identified through the therapist that Ms. Haupt talked to for the Time Magazine article is, I don't want to take up too much time.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do people sometimes spend precious therapy time apologizing for taking your time, you know, and they're apologizing, and it's, you know, in the 30 years that I practiced, I mean, this was making you chuckle sometime, because they're apologizing for taking up the time while they're burning through,
right,
you know, their appointment time. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which tells you a couple things about the person, right? That they haven't been given this gift of space to be or express or to understand themselves,
yeah.
Right? It tells me that, okay, underneath this this person is some level of, I feel unworthy, or I'm too much.
Yeah, so you kind of have to devote at least some time in the session to convincing the client or talking about with the client that, hey, they deserve to be there, you know?
Right. And I don't think this is uncommon. And I don't know that it would drive me up the wall. In fact, I would say that this gives us some great fodder, some great material to work with in the therapy room, right?
Yeah.
So if somebody says to me, I don't want to take too much of your time, I'm immediately going to, you know, as soon as I can, jump in and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. First of all, this is your time, right?
Right.
I mean, you're...
And this is what I do. I'm here to hold this time for you.
Number one, you're paying for this, right?
Right.
But number two, you're worth it. And that's why we're here.
Yeah.
You know, so that that's going to be one of the main, you know, programs that we're going to be working on exploring. Okay, why do you feel like you're a burden, perhaps? Why do you feel like you're taking up too much time or space?
Let's talk about this a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, what I'm hearing from you is that you think you're, you know, putting me out. But, you know, let's talk about, you know, this is your appointment.
Right.
And I'm here to serve, mm-hmm, and to listen.
I wouldn't be here,
right,
if I didn't want to be here.
Yeah. And so this is your appointment. There's no need to apologize, you know. And that's one of the things that, you know, sometimes there's confusion about, is about the therapeutic relationship, Lauren.
Yeah.
There's confusion, because especially if you go, you know, to therapy and you've got the occasion to maybe, let's say, go weekly for a little while,
mm-hmm,
or for a long while,
yep,
because people use therapy in different ways. But over time, there's a special kind of relationship that develops,
mm-hmm,
and people don't have the language generally. And so, you know, they might put the label, quote unquote, friendship,
yeah,
on the time and the relationship. And, you know, therapy is a very unique...
It's a unique form of friendship.
Form of friendship. Mm-hmm. And yes, friendship in the sense that, you know, friends are there for each other, right? Mm-hmm. They're there to hold time and space for each other.
Yep.
But therapy... particularly you know, mental health therapy is a very defined type of relationship.
Yeah, and I think what people don't realize is the relationship is the therapy. I think people go into therapy thinking, oh, you know, we're going to do some sort of, there's some sort of action or protocol or plan that we that I follow in order to quote unquote do therapy.
Right.
But what I love actually about how the ACA defines counseling,
the ACA is the American Counseling Association,
actually defines counseling as a relationship.
Right.
First and foremost, that is the beginning part of their definition of therapy is a relationship.
Right.
Because we are constantly in relationship with either each other as people, with things, with ideas, with our beliefs.
With ourselves,
yeah. First and foremost. And so, you know, healing can't happen unless there is a safe, open relationship. Healing relationship.
Right.
And that's the foundation from which any sort of healing can take place.
Right, right. What makes the therapeutic relationship especially safe? Let's talk about that since you mentioned safety.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first things that comes to my mind
is confidentiality.
First and foremost. You can come in and you can put out into the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is you'd like to talk about.
Yep.
And know that that's not going to go outside of that room.
Within some
specific boundaries.
Parameters, right? As long as you're not intending to hurt yourself or other people.
Right.
That's pretty much the boundary.
That's pretty much where confidentiality has to be broken in order to protect you or to protect somebody else.
Right.
But in the absence of that.
Right.
Anything else is held confidential.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's not going to go anywhere, you know, but the room.
Right. And you have to have that kind of safety in order for there to be, I'm going to call it the intimacy, where intimacy is into me see, dropping walls.
Being able to look at myself
and go to the very core of myself, as opposed to being in relationship in the outer layers, if you will, you know, because most of our relationships are layered.
Yeah.
And very few of our relationships are of the degree of intimacy where I'm speaking to you from my core self. And indeed, one of the things about therapy is it could be to discover
yourself.
That core self. Because we talk a lot about developing the relationship with yourself.
Right.
And many of us need time and space
to even know who and what that is.
Yeah, to learn ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's one of the reasons, you know, I actually prefer the term psychotherapist to counselor, simply because psychotherapist implies psyche, which is mind or soul, and therapia, which is healing.
Yeah.
Which I think underscores its potential, what it really is at its highest. It is soul healing, because it's the ability of my soul to touch your soul and for you to see and recognize and wrestle with your own soul, that you may grow into your soul, as it were.
There you go. Here's another one. Well, this is probably stupid.
That happens
a lot.
Yeah.
That does happen a lot. Yeah, I want to talk about something, and it's probably stupid.
So
wait a minute. Now, time out.
one of the rephrases for this that I like, especially if we're talking about thinking, right?
Yeah.
If we have thinking, we know we all have rational and irrational thinking.
Right.
So maybe a slightly gentler reframing of this is probably stupid is, you know, I'm telling myself a story and it may be irrational, but this is it.
Yeah.
Right? Dot, dot, dot. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, because
stupid.
If you're sharing it, it's likely something that is important to you right now, and there's right. some reason that you're bringing it up. Mm-hmm. So that's certainly not stupid.
Right. Not at all.
Actually,
if there's something that's continually in your heart in terms of a feeling or a thought, and it's bothering you to the point of, you know, being in your daily life, you know, it's important to bring up no matter, and it's important to bring up the judgments you have around it, even if you do think it's stupid.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because likely it's not. I don't think it is, because like you say, if it's there, it's asking to be heard. It's asking to be seen and brought into, you know, the grappling, the excavation process.
One of the therapists that the writer of this article talked to refers to this phrase as self-gaslighting. And I think that's a pretty good way to refer to it. And she says she's developed kind of a go-to strategy to nip it in the bud, which is to pretend, you know, we have Pocket and we use a spray bottle sometimes when mm-hmm. he gets over rambunctious. So what she does is she uses a pretend spray bottle to invisibly spray. You know, okay, you're doing this to yourself again.
Right.
Stop.
Well, I mean, because those little things that we dismiss often turn out to be a key.
Absolutely.
Our feeling, right?
Absolutely. We're talking phrases that absolutely drive your therapist up the wall today. We'll see if we can't get Lauren back down here in a moment. Talking about that today here on Strategies for Living. More to come. Stay with us. Be right back.
Are you trying to develop a productive sales team? Are you trying to grow or develop an existing one? Are you wanting to change your current culture, or are you lacking the skills to get you and your team to the next level? If any of this is what you're looking for, then you need to contact SRT Sales Training. Hi, everyone. My name is Scott Tarkowski, and I'm the owner of SRT Sales Training. Relevant, real-life skills that work in today's environment, no matter what the business. For more information, go to ScottTarkowski.com or simply call 318-393-5219. And as always, make it a great day.
Hey, let's talk about the Robinson Film Center. You know, I say it a lot. There's no place like the
Absolutely
Robinson.
Absolutely, there is not.
617 Texas Street, downtown Shreveport. You've got so much. You've got the movies. You got Abby Singer's Bistro on the second floor of RFC, open for lunch and dinner Tuesday through Saturday.
Newly remodeled.
Absolutely. Great menu. RobinsonFilmCenter.org is the way you check it all out. You can go to RobinsonFilmCenter.org at any time and find out what movies are showing. Here's the deal. You want to join the crowd, join the fun, become a member. When you become a member, you become a star. Mm-hmm. You get discounts on movies, you get concession upgrades, you get bistro deals. RFC, 617 Texas Street in downtown Shreveport. I'll say it again. There's no place like the Robinson.
There is not, and I'm glad we have one right here.
Absolutely. The Robinson Film Center.org.
Reading begins not in the classroom, but in your child's brain. I'm Donisa Walker with LearningRx Shreveport. If your child struggles to read, maybe he or she has trouble focusing or comprehending, LearningRx Shreveport offers a science solution to reading problems, working one-on-one with your child, targeting his or her reading skills. Today, call LearningRx Shreveport. Make an appointment to have your child assessed. I know you want to help your child. So does LearningRx Shreveport.
From the bayou to your table, we're keeping it alive with flavors from the family passed down to survive. The Godfather's here with a twist in the tail, alligator Italian sausage, and it sure won't fail. It's the boss of the bayou, a taste you can't refuse. Italian tradition, Cajun infused. Sausage, bold and true. But Andre's bringing the bayou to you.
Get the Godfather Alligator Italian Sausage only at Fertitta's Delicatessen, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport. pick up a Muffy while you're there. The Godfather, alligator Italian sausage. It's a taste you can't refuse. Sold only at Fertitta's, 1124 Fairfield Avenue in Shreveport.
Facing the same old problems day to day. Makes you wonder how I'll get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare. Looking for strategies. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab.
Oh, you found it, Martin.
Strategies for living radio.
Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome back to Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. We are we're talking about an article that was recently in Time magazine entitled Phrases, Things You Go Into the Therapist's Office and Say That Will Drive Your Therapist Up the Wall. Are you going to add to the list?
I'm going to add to the list. It doesn't really drive me up the wall, but it kind of it does fall in line with what we're talking about.
Okay.
I had a client recently. They started to share something, and then they said, "Oh, well, never mind. That would be trauma dumping." And I just looked at them and I said, "Well, of all the places
that you can,
that's most appropriate for trauma dumping
is right, in the therapy room,
right here." Yeah. So yeah. Continue on, yeah. Please.
Permission granted. another phrase that drives therapists up the wall is, "I'm sorry for crying." And it's like an apology for feeling in the therapy office.
Well, for feeling and healing, right?
Yeah.
Because we talk about crying is a natural release, and we can see that and feel that and sense that emotionally.
Absolutely.
But we know that it's true on a physiological level, right? I mean, because our tears release the very chemicals that can be
that are responsible
for depression and anxiety.
So crying,
right?
Is really, really healthy, and mm-hmm. it means that the client is feeling safe enough,
yes,
to let their guard down, and that's a good sign of healing.
Mm-hmm.
As we grow up, we get all kinds of confusing messages.
I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah, if you don't stop those tears, I'll give you something.
You have no reason to cry. Oh, yeah, I've heard them all.
Yeah. So, it's important to, that's part of what is needing to be unpacked sometimes in the therapy office.
Right.
I mean, I used to joke that we buy the Kleenex by the case, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Because you in a therapy office, you've got to have mm-hmm. you've got to have the tissue.
Yeah.
Okay. I was finishing up last week, and Carla came into the office and grabbed my box of tissue, and she said, "Are you through for the day?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm finished." Uh-huh. And she said, "I promise, I'll go get us some more tissue.
I just need some more.
I need some for the afternoon." Okay,
yeah.
So you gotta have it, and again, it's a healthy thing. It's a sign of healing.
It's one of the most honest things our body can do.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we have framed it up as a weakness for sure within our society. But I'm looking forward to the day, and I'm hoping to be, an agent of change to remind us that it's our body's wisdom, right? To be able to release.
Yeah. You know that TV commercial several years ago that was, I think it was an insurance company.
Yeah.
But it had the person in the therapy office, and the therapist was a retired Marine Corps officer, And so he threw the box, you namby-pamby, Bob, the box of tissue at the client, you namby-pamby.
Oh, Lord.
And so, you know, I've actually used that as a piece of humor to let people know, hey, it's okay.
Right.
You know, it's completely natural and normal when you're talking about stuff that you need to bring up and be able to talk about.
Yeah.
It's okay for the waterworks to come. And sometimes, you know, people try to over control that, I think.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. No doubt about that.
Yeah. Another phrase that absolutely will drive a psychotherapist up the wall, I should be over this by now. When people assume that they should be over whatever it is they're going through, what they're doing is they're shaming themselves for being human and having just a normal healing experience, a normal healing timeline.
Right.
You know, grief is a part of life.
Absolutely.
It's a big part of life. And I don't know where, Lauren, I don't know where we ever got the idea that grieving was on a timeline.
Right. Like the idea that we get 3 days.
Or 3 months or 6 months.
Yeah,
I mean, whatever the time is, it doesn't matter because that's somebody else's definition.
Right.
Grieving is a personal experience, and it will take whatever it takes.
Right.
The worst thing that somebody can do, in my opinion, to someone who is going through a grieving process is to say something around the equivalent of, you're not over this by now?
Right.
I thought you should be over this by now. and you know, it's bad enough for that to come externally, but it's also we do it to ourselves too, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think this is a very misunderstood idea as well, because when I talk about grief, I'm not just talking about the loss of a person or thing, but I mean, we could grieve a transition, we can grieve a trauma in our life, there's lots of things that we grieve, right?
Right.
And so I'm talking about even if, you know, you've worked on a particular area of your life, and you know, a couple years later it starts to flare up again. Right.
Right.
That doesn't mean that it's not healed. That doesn't mean that, quote unquote, you should have been over it and it should have been a one and done fix when you worked through it. All that means is that, oh, there's something else here.
Right.
Because there's
healing
layers.
Can be a process and
there's
it can be
layers,
layered.
Right.
Right. Right.
And I mean, we wouldn't tell people who had a physical injury that you should be over that.
No,
right?
healing in therapy is not like healing a broken bone. And sometimes people kind of, I think, make that assumption.
Yeah.
Well, this needs to be linear. It needs to be, because if you break a bone and you go to the doctor and they set it, there is a linear upward progress that you would expect in the healing of that bone. And then it's done. You're fixed, right? Healing doesn't look that way psychologically.
It's not linear. I like to think of it as not quite, I guess I was going to say circular, but it's more spiral. Right?
Okay, to talk about that a bit.
It's because we may heal it, we may work on it some and go around the circle, right? And then all of a sudden, it feels like we've been triggered again and we hit that same wound, right? And if you look at it in a two-dimensional way, it's a circle. And you're like, gosh, man, I'm back here again. And I thought that I should have been over it, right?
Right.
But in reality, it's a spiral, and you've actually moved upward some on that healing process.
And
right?
I think that's one of the real, real benefits to being in a therapeutic relationship is sometimes the therapist can point out, well, you know, especially if a client says something along the lines of, well, I should be over this by now, and maybe they did better for a little while, and then something triggered.
Right.
Something triggered them, and you know. So I think it's important to have a healthy person say, "Well, let's take a look at this together. Look at how you recognized, were able to recognize this, and you're sharing it now.
That's
you're telling
evidence.
Me about it.
That's evidence.
That's progress.
That's evidence of being higher up on that spiral rather than
right.
stuck in the circle.
Right.
Right. You're able to witness it from above. And you may not remember, but if you're able, your therapist is able to walk you through that process of looking backwards, maybe you can realize, whoa, you're right. One, I noticed it. But two, also, because I noticed it, I can handle it in a different and maybe even more rapid way
uh-huh.
this time.
Uh-huh.
And that's the idea. You know,
yeah.
we're complex creatures. It doesn't mean that, you know, it's going to be a one and done fix
right.
with healing. That's
right.
just not how it works.
Right.
You know, sometimes, maybe on the rare occasion, but not frequently.
Another phrase that drives some therapists crazy is, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times, I don't know is a way to shut the conversation down.
Uh-huh.
And it might be another way of saying,
I don't want to know.
I don't want to go there right now, or I'm feeling real uncomfortable talking about this right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to toe that line because there is an honest level of I really don't know.
Right.
But yet, the admission of I don't know can be an invitation into curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, like, it's okay not to know, but it's also okay to stay curious, right?
Right?
So, like, I might ask somebody, well, what would it mean if you did know?
Okay, hey, that's a great question. Or saying, hey, okay, well, you may not know that right now, but can we spend some time maybe looking at that together?
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that you would be open to investigating a bit further, because
yeah.
that's one of the purposes
especially if I as a therapist can see that knowing this or being curious and moving into whatever it is the client says I don't know about would be helpful for their healing, you know, I think it's important for me to share, okay, maybe you don't know, but would you be open to, because it's going to be really important if this is something you want to move through.
Right.
And some clients may not even realize that it's important to move through that
right.
in that way.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, sometimes the things we fear the most lead to, on the other side of that, is where we need to be to grow into the best form of who we are.
Talking about phrases that may drive your therapist crazy
today. I'm coming back down.
You are climbing. You're
I
back
might
down
need a ladder.
You're back about halfway down the wall right now. We've got more though, so we'll see if we can keep you grounded.
Mm.
Here on Strategies for a Living. Be right back. Stay with us. And welcome back in to Strategies for Living Radio. Lauren, Leon McMillan, David McMillan, talking today about, you want to drive your therapist crazy? Well, there's certain phrases. We're talking about a Time Magazine article from the first of the month that was written that in conjunction with some therapists that the author talked to.
A lot of these are phrases that we all actually use out of habit or fear. I think we use a lot of these.
Yeah.
And they may not.
So even if you're not in therapy, how much,
right.
think about how much you might be using some
mm-hmm.
of these phrases
right.
on yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's another one. What should I do?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh,
that
only,
one,
only, gra-
that
only
one.
Your grandma can truly answer that. Because, you know, a grandpa, maybe an aunt, because
mm-hmm.
grandmas and aunts always have a lot of opinions.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But your therapist really doesn't have any idea.
No.
And they're not supposed to.
Right.
I mean, sometimes people come into therapy and they think, well, my therapist is going to tell me what to do. If your therapist is doing that, run.
Get out.
Get out, because that's not, you're in something, but you're not in therapy.
Yeah. Right. I think this is one of the biggest misconceptions about therapy, you know, is that they come in and they expect me or the therapist or to give them advice.
No,
or
and
to
that's
tell them
not
what to do, and that's not at
no.
all.
What therapy is about is it about empowering you to make choices and decisions for yourself, to maybe try new things, maybe to be willing to fail sometimes and to learn and to grow. And so, you know, you might want to change that wording to, instead of, you know, what should I do, to just simply, hey, you know, can we do some exploration, right?
Yeah, can we explore some options together, right?
Yeah.
I have a couple of ideas of what I could do. Will you help me talk through, you know, and feedback what you hear me saying?
There
right?
you go.
Because that's our job. I mean, I often tell people I'm in the job to put myself out of a job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I were in the job to give advice, I would continually have people coming, right?
Right.
But I'm of the sort that you want to teach the man to fish. You don't want to fish for the man, right?
There you go. Yeah, I don't want to do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, nothing ever changes. You know,
really?
Yeah.
What world are you living in?
Yeah.
And how is that belief serving you?
The only thing that we can count on in this lifetime is change. Sometimes the change comes in small increments. Mm-hmm. And often, you know, when somebody is saying nothing ever changes, they're trying to self-sabotage their own growth a lot of times, mm-hmm. because it's not happening the way they want it to happen. It's not happening on their timetable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's an indicator.
They feel stuck.
Yeah, an indicator of helplessness or hopelessness. Okay, so that's something that therapy can dive into, right?
And I think one of the most important things that you can do, if that's the place that you're at where, well, nothing ever changes, I'm going to challenge you to look around and see how much everything does change every moment, every second, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I had a client, freaking out about, well, this is the oldest I've ever been, and I said and now too you're the oldest you've ever been now, you know. I mean,
going.
That's
going
to be a continual thing, so how do you want to handle that, right? Let's maybe move into that with some acceptance and see what we can do with it.
You know, therapy has never worked for me. Okay, that's another, you know,
right.
thing that clients will say.
Why are you here?
Yeah. Hey, I need a guarantee. I'll come do this, but I need a guarantee that this is going to work.
Well, unfortunately, that's not on my end. I can't control that.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes people want to hear, well, I tell you what, I don't know what's happened in the past, but this therapy is going to work for you. You know. I here's the deal. Your therapist absolutely wants it to work,
mm-hmm.
and wants to instill hope that it can work. But at the same time, you know, there's too many other factors that you're in therapy once a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's 1 hour.
Yeah.
1 hour or whatever your therapeutic time is, 45 minutes, 55 minutes.
I know some people who do an hour and a half.
Whatever it is. But still, the point is, figure out the percentage. I mean, there's 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week. So do the math.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour or even 1.5 hour. What's the percentage?
Much.
It's not much. You're out of the therapy room way more, and you're out there making choices and decisions and behaving,
mm-hmm.
doing behaviors. And so, I mean, again, that's not one of the things that therapy is about.
No.
Therapy is a collaborative relationship that, you know, really requires work,
mm-hmm.
and engagement,
mm-hmm.
of both parties. in order to really be successful therapy.
Yeah. If someone is saying therapy's never worked for me, a couple things come to mind for me. You know, either they're afraid to hope again.
Hmm.
They may want to get better, but there's a piece of them that wants to stay where they are stuck and right. to have someone else or something else to blame for their not moving. Because just the phrase therapy is not working for me is a blame game.
Oh, wait a minute. I got a call coming in. I'm just going to take this real quick.
Yeah.
That's another phrase that drives therapists crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to just take this real quick. And then you're sitting there listening to one end of a 4 or 5 minute conversation, which is, again, it's your time.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
but it's not a great use of the therapeutic time.
The message that sends is I really don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not important to me. Like you just mentioned, an hour out of a week is not much. And
not
so you're going to choose to spend 5 to 10 minutes on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
yeah, you got to look at that.
Think about what message you are sending to yourself about therapy.
Right.
Think about the message you're sending to yourself. I mean, I'm not going to say the therapist's feelings don't matter. The counselor's feelings don't matter because they do.
Right.
But
the main thing is, you're telling yourself.
What are you telling yourself? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So these are phrases that we jokingly say these can drive your therapist or your counselor or your life coach up the wall. However, these are also phrases that we say to ourselves.
Right.
And, we can sometimes shoot ourselves not just in one foot, but in both feet at the same time. That ouches. Talking about that today here on Strategies for Living. We'll be right back. You get them here on Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan, David McMillan. Sometimes the music just gets inside of you.
That's great. Takes
over. Welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. We have been considering today things that might drive your therapist up the wall, drive your therapist crazy, and tongue in cheek, of course.
Right. I mean, because in talking about this, I don't want to make this a list of what not to say, because you want the therapy room to be a place where you can express
whatever it is you need to express.
Right. But just maybe the idea of, paying attention to what you're saying and really what you're saying to yourself, as you started to say at the end of that last segment, right?
Yeah. So you're talking about really conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And isn't that what we really want in
Absolutely.
Our lives?
Yeah.
How would the world be different, Lauren, if more people were truly, truly consciously more aware of what's going on inside of themselves?
It'd be a much better, fuller place, I think, for all of us.
It may be a different world, and I think it's a world that will come.
It's coming.
Yeah.
We've got to begin to bring ourselves back into the story, give ourselves permission to take up the space.
Folks, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being here with us on Strategies for Living, and we appreciate our sponsors who make it all possible, the Robinson Film Center, and Azalea Cleaners, and Pintail Roofing, and Learning RX. We train your brain. And the Balanced Life Wellness Center. And Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather. Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. And SRT, Sales Training. If today if today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who would you call? And what would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.